Okay, we are now holding in the third of the series of Anshuva, 3 out of 5. And we spoke about the first week as an introduction. We spoke about the gift of tshuva. And last week we spoke about the philosophical perspective on tshuva. Tonight we're going to start talking practically what does it mean to do tshuva. And next week we'll get to the Kabbalistic perspective on tshuva. But tonight what we need to speak about, and it's very scary to think about it, but very often we don't actually know what does it mean to actually do tshuva. How do you do tshuva? How do you do it? We speak so much about tshuva, but very often we fail to think about how do you actually go about doing tshuva? What do you have to actually do? So what might be the answer? What do you have to actually do? And by the way, this through that we'll be able to next week better understand the Kabbalistic perspective on tshuva. What might one think that you have to do to actually do tshuva? What would be the simple, most simple answer based on what it says in Chumash?
Is to start by doing regret.
Well, that doesn't say in Chumash. What does it actually say? And what's the only part of tshuva that actually says in Chumash? It actually says vidui. Right? If we would say, how do you actually do tshuva? So you would think that you have to, there's vidui. Is to actually just to say the confession. And we should know, this is important to know, that the mitzvah d'oraisa, the mitzvah d'oraisa, the part of the mitzvah that's from the Torah, is the actual saying of the confession. That's the mitzvah d'oraisa of doing tshuva. But that is not only is that not only the whole mitzvah of tshuva, but if one only does that, then what? Anyone know what Chazal refers to that? A person that confesses one's sins and just confesses the sins? Tovel v'sheretz biyodo. That's what Chazal have the famous example. A person that goes to, that is impure because they touched an impure animal, a sheretz, an impure reptile, and they go to the mikveh while holding on to it. We call that in English an act of futility. Or in slang we'd say, mamash, a waste of time, right? You go in the mikveh while you're still holding the sheretz, it's mamash, a waste of time. So for sure, it's not just vidui. So Mark, what did you say? What's tshuva?
Well, it also includes regret.
Okay, so you say it also includes regret. Okay.
No, not to return to it, go do it again.
What?
And plus, that you say you will not go to return to it again.
Good. So Mark is saying that there are three parts of tshuva. How do you actually do tshuva? So most Orthodox Jews will say, to do tshuva, there are three parts to do tshuva. Charata, vidui, and Kabbalah la'osid, past, present, and future, right? Regret over the past, saying, confessing in the present, and accepting not to do it again. Again, the three parts of tshuva that most Orthodox Jews will say, how do you actually do tshuva? Most Orthodox Jews will tell you that there are three parts of doing tshuva. Vidui, charata la'ovar, vidui and kabbalah lahaba, aziva sachet. Forgetting, regretting the past, present saying confession, and future, aziva sachet, leaving the sin. Those are the three parts of tshuva that most people will tell you. Does anyone know what the source of that is? Because like I just said to you, the Torah just says vidui. Huh?
The Rambam,
that's correct. It's not in Chazal. Chazal and the Gemara do not say how to do tshuva. Chazal and the Gemara in Yuma, there are many times that the Gemara Chazal speak about tshuva, but Chazal never actually say how to do tshuva. Not just Chazal, by the way, the prophets also speak about tshuva all the time, right? How many times did Yeshaya and Yirmiyah and Isaiah and Yechezkel and all the Nevi'im Hashem send over and over and over and say, do tshuva, do tshuva, do tshuva. Repent, O ye sinners, for the day of wrath is upon you. We have all these Monty Python skits going in our head, right? So many times the prophets and Chazal say to do tshuva, but they don't actually say, how do you do tshuva? So the first one that actually says how to do tshuva is the Rambam, right? Which we're about to see. The inyan is what I'm... But the problem with the Rambam is... Here, you ready for this? What happens if you don't regret it?
It's not a complete tshuva.
It's not a complete tshuva, seemingly, right? And you didn't do tshuva at all if a tshuva has these three parts. It's not a complete tshuva, right? Now, I don't know about you, but you ready? You ready for my confession? If I think about certain sins I do, I can't exactly say that I totally regret them as much as I more like sort of think I would like to do them again, to be very honest with you. Let's be honest, right? How many of us actually regret? What does it mean to regret? You know what it means to regret? There were Chassidim that say, I'll tell you what regret means. Regret means nobody should know from it. A mother that, you know, leaves her baby in the bathtub or something like that, and that the child drowns or something, that's regret. A parent that leaves a child in the car, you know, and that's regret. Do we feel like that about our averus? Maybe you do. Very often, when I think about averus that I did, if I think about them for more than 5 seconds, I just want to do them again. That's the truth. I'll be honest with you.
Well, the introduction, in the introduction shuv, you said that the true tshuva is when Hashem could be made that we won't do it again.
That's correct. Now, so that's what the Rambam says. Does that mean, in order to be able to not do them again, does that mean I have to regret them?
It means you have to have a state of mind that you would never want to do it again.
Okay, good. So does that mean you have to regret them?
I think so.
No.
Well, let's...
So,
well,
you just have to be back in the same situation and not do it.
Okay, so, good. This is all the issues
the way,
that we need to...
The explained it the other time is,
yeah?
We don't have Yetzirah to go into Lobster Lenny's. It may be delicious, whatever. That's the example.
Excuse me.
That's how
so you should know.
To
the orange juice is making me choke. It's not going to help me to drink it. This must be with the calcium, Ari. You gave him with the calcium. That's why. See, I don't know. Calcium is nasty. You should know. Rabbeinu Yoina says it makes a differentiation between mitzvahs, averus that you did once, and averus that you become entrenched in. Something that a person did once, you messed up once. You accidentally, you know, you couldn't control yourself. You were in Starbucks, you bought, you know, a sandwich. Something that you did once, there Rabbeinu Yoina says clearly, you have to regret before you leave the sin. And it's very easy to do so. Because you only did it once. You're right. But what about those sins, which I think we won't get too graphic over here, but there are plenty of sins. Thank you so much, Simcha. There are so many, there are a lot of sins that we would like to leave, but they're very difficult to do so. And I'd probably venture to say that most of the sins that we do are those type, right? The ones that we have a hard time leaving, right? The ones that's not just we fell once, but they have a hard time leaving. And those ones that we have a hard time leaving are even harder to regret doing. So the question is, if the Rambam is saying that you need these three components to do tshuva, could we ever really do tshuva? If we have to really regret them? Yeah.
The point of tshuva, you're telling Hashem, I've changed, I'm a new person.
Okay.
If you don't regret what you've done, then you really haven't changed.
I hear that. Okay,
you know,
so right? Dov is saying, seemingly, and that I think what Tzvi was saying too, that you're saying that, what do you mean? If you don't regret it, then you didn't change. That's what you guys are saying. But I'm saying back to you, then how could we ever do tshuva? That's exactly what I'm asking you. If we need to regret it, and I'm being honest with you, maybe you're different. When I think about certain averus that I did, if I think about them for too long, I want to do them again. So I could lie and make a sour face and say, God, I regret it, but I really don't. Because God looks at our hearts. He doesn't look at the faces that we make. And regretting means you're like, I mamish regret doing that. That was like, I wish I had not done that. And like, you're disgusted by it. And very often that doesn't happen.
Even if you say
and
you
if we think
it.
Too much about, sometimes we think too much about sins, we do want to do them again. Right?
If you say Hashamnu Bagadnu and you don't mean it.
I understand what the problem is. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
so that's exactly what I'm getting to. I'm trying to get to, the point I'm trying to make right now is that seemingly, if we're honest with ourselves, tshuva seems to be a closed door.
Can't we have different parts of us that regret or that we really, really wish that we didn't do it?
So you're saying that we have within our psyche, we have those parts that we do. There are parts of us that we have that, you know, that sort of split personality disorder that we all have within us. The problem is, to really regret means, to with Hashem, what's going on in your heart of hearts? By the way, do you know where that comes from, that phrase, heart of hearts? I just found out this a couple of weeks ago. I never knew. Shakespeare made it up. It's in Hamlet. What goes on in our heart of hearts? What really goes on in our heart of hearts? Like, not, obviously I understand that, like,
I would
you know, it's me, when you, could I ask you a question, Tzvi? When you're pigging out on a pint of chocolate ice cream in the middle of the night, as you're eating it, you're regretting it, right? She didn't tell, but Batsheva didn't say anything to me. I'm just guessing, because we're all the same. As you're eating it, you're regretting it. That doesn't mean the fact that you're regretting it, but we understand that that regret is not in the hard arts, because you're still eating the ice cream, right? We all, as we're enjoying the ice cream, we're regretting it. So, but that level of regret is not hard of hearts. That level of regret is like, oh, I'm a pig. I can't believe I'm doing this. But that's not really regret. The regret that seemingly, like Dov is saying, to change me a different person is a completely different thing. In fact, to really regret something, it's to be disgusted by the thing. And that's not so easy. What do you want to say, Yishai?
I'm just wondering the order, is that specifically that order? It has to be that order, or is it any order?
So let's learn the Rambam. Let's see what the Rambam says. Let's see. Let's learn the Rambam. Yishai is saying, does it have to be that order? Let's learn the Rambam. So look inside. On the side of the page where it says on the top, Maya Tshuva. Now I want to remind you, I said this to you, I think last week or the week before, I mentioned to you that the Rambam, why does the whole Klal Yisrael go according to the Rambam, that everyone knows there's three parts of Tshuva because the Rambam says so? Because the Rambam is what? Is the only one that actually says how to do Tshuva. Right, I told you, that's how the Rambam defends the writings of the Rambam. Because he was the first one to actually, you know, codify what does it mean to do Tshuva. Does he? He says how to do tshuva?
He talks about like the purpose of tshuva, though.
The purpose of tshuva, I said to you, Chazal say many times in the Nevi'im, but does he?
He talks about a formula for it.
Does he?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, please show me. I would be curious to see. I admit I did not finish Emunas V'Deis. I didn't go through the whole thing. So if you, I would be very curious to see. Please show me. As far as I knew, the Rambam was the first one. But if Reb Sadia Gaon says it, I'd be very happy to see that. Okay, let's see inside. Says the Rambam, this is Hilchas Tshuva Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Let's see. Umahi Atshuva, hu sheyazov hachotei chetoi, that the sinner will leave his sin, v'yesiroi memachshavtoi, and remove it from his thoughts, v'yigmur beliboi shelo yaseu oid, and he'll accept in his heart never to do it again. Shenemar, Yazev Rosha Darkei V'ish Oven Machshavosev, right? The wicked shall leave his path. So which one did the Rambam start with? Past, present, or future?
Present.
One says past, one says present.
Future. Right now, he says leave the sin right now.
What?
Yazev Etekens,
right
now. What do we say? What's past? Regretting the past. What's present? Saying vidui. What's the third one? Leaving it meaning? What does leaving it mean? You're leaving it now, but what's connoted by leaving?
Future.
That you will not do it again.
Future.
Future. So what is the Rambam starting with?
Future.
Future, right?
It sounds like right now. He's sitting right now. He's leaving Sumer right now.
Listen, obviously the act, all three I'm doing now. Right? Obviously I'm that doing tshuva according to what we've understood until now, the Rambam, which we're about to obviously change that. That's the point of tonight's shir. But we understood the Rambam is tshuva having three parts. So we understood that all three, and I do tshuva, I do them now. I regret the past now, I confess now, and I accept in the future not to do it again. So obviously they're all being done now. But the question is, what do they correlate to? Regret correlates to the past. Aziva zachet correlates to the future. And vidui is something, an act that I'm doing now. But of course they're all three done now. Right? But when the Rambam lists them, he first says aziva zachet. Which is interesting, no? First, he says, the first thing you have to do, sheyazev achoyte chete v'simach shabte, except not to do it again. Then what's the next thing the Rambam says? V'chein, v'chein, what does v'chein mean? Third line. V'chein,
similarly,
or and also, yisnachem al she'ovar, regret the past. Shenemar ke'achri shuvi nechamti. Now why is that interesting? Why is that going against what Zvi and Dov were saying before? What's implied in the Rambam, essentially? I mean, v'chein yisnacham al she'ova, and also regret the past?
That you don't need regrets to Yasov.
Right, isn't that what it's saying? Doesn't that imply that you could leave it without regretting it? What is the Rambam saying? Leave the chait, v'chein, and also have charata. Right? Let's read further. Shenemar. What does the Rambam say? What pasuk does he bring? Look, what pasuk does the Rambam bring? Shenemar, ki achrei shuvi Nichamti. Why is that interesting? After I did tshuva, I regretted it. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought regret is part of the tshuva process, no? Ki achrei shuvi, nichamti. After I did tshuva, I regretted. I thought tshuva is one of the three. Let's read further. And you need to regret it to the extent, and here's what I mentioned 2 weeks ago, to the extent that the one that knows all secrets could testify about you, you'll never go back to that sin again. We will no longer do avodah zara. We will no longer call the work of our hands a god. And then the Rambam says the third thing, one needs to verbally confess, and say those things that he accepted in his heart. So here we have the three things of the Rambam, but we see already that it seems to be the Rambam is saying an interesting order, and the Pasuk seems to say, Ke'achri shuvi nechamti, seems to say, that tshuva is what? Nechama, regretting, is after tshuva, right?
But that goes along with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
What do you mean? Because I think what you're saying is what I'm about to say later, but what do you mean?
Because of the fact that we do not put Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah.
Right, we're going to get to it. Good, right. We're going to get to that. Correct, yes. Okay, so I hope I already aroused your taste buds and everyone is curious and sufficiently confused. Is everyone sufficiently confused? Good. Now, look below that. Look below the Rambam.
Why is it only...
Okay. Yes.
Why is he saying only three things? Because he's not important.
Where do you see more than three over here? Wait. Ezra, it's important not just to throw words out. Kabbalah haba naziv esachet. Think for a second. Kabbalah haba naziv esachet. No? Think, don't look at your paper. Kabbalah haba naziv esachet.
It's not the same thing.
No? Kabbalah haba naziv esachet.
No, I can stop doing a sin. That doesn't mean I accept it
Aziva Sachet doesn't mean not to do it now. Aziva Sachet doesn't mean when you're standing in shul with your kittel not to do the Avera. Aziva Sachet means to leave the sin. Kabbalah Lahaba. Right? They're the same thing. Aziva Sachet and Kabbalah Lahaba are synonymous.
Oh, by the way, I don't get up at 1 in the morning and have ice cream anymore.
Regrets. I've had a few, but then again,
because
yeah.
I've become accustomed to not doing that, I don't have the Yetzirah to continue doing it.
But does that mean that you regret that you did it? Not necessarily. That's what we're going to get to.
I know what the consequences are.
What we're going to get to is that there's such a thing as leaving it without regretting it. Because as I said, to really regret doing a sin, one has to be on a very high level. To think back at some of those really fun things that we did and regret them, look at them as like, that's disgusting, want us to come to a very high level. So what we're going to learn is, yeah, there is a way of leaving it without regretting it. Yeah.
I think I understand why the Rambam starts with as a person hate, because, you know, it's like Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're still drinking, they don't let you in.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rambam says, step one is, if you're still doing the hate, there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
You can't talk theoretically doing
tshuva. Right.
Step one, you got to stop.
Okay.
And that's what the achrei is. So once you've stopped, that's the first step of tshuva.
Right. But guess what? What we're going to learn in a second is that it's not the first step of tshuva. Hmm. You know what we're going to learn? That is tshuva. That's it.
Just a ziva sachet.
You know who says that? Guess who says that? Look right under the Rambam. Right under the Rambam, you have Sefer Igeres HaTshuva. Where's that from, Igeres HaTshuva? Huh? That's Oiras HaTshuva. Tanya. It's the third section of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe. It's the third section of Tanya. Says the Alter Rebbe, top line. You ready? Vehina. This is Perek Aleph of Igeres HaTshuva. The second page of Perek Aleph of Igeres HaTshuva. Says the Alter Rebbe. And the Alter Rebbe was a Poisek. Vehine. Mitzvahs ha-tshuva min ha-Torah hi azivas ha-chet bilvad. The Alter Rebbe says clearly, mitzvahs ha-tshuva min ha-Torah hi azivas ha-chet bilvad. He doesn't just say azivas ha-chet, azivas ha-chet bilvad. don't think that tshuva is that you have to do all three things. He says clearly, aziva sachet bilvad. Oh, so the question that we have to ask is, how could the Alter Rebbe argue on the Rambam? The Alter Rebbe was about 500 years, 600 years after the Rambam. How could the Alter Rebbe argue on the Rambam? How can he argue on the Rambam? Where, how could the Alter Rebbe say such a thing? That's a good question.
Does he have a source for that?
Yes, he does, in the parentheses. Okay. Next words. Kedisa b'gemara, paragimel de Sanhedrin, b'choshe mishpat simelam adal, inyan edus. Linyan edus. What's that source? The source of the gabe edus. A Russia can't be an aid. A person that gambles can't be an aid. A person that uses doves, right, makes dove races, mafriche yoinim, can't be a witness, right? Anyway, what does the Gemara say? When is he able to be an aid? Or like a person that was caught selling treif meat. Can't be an aid. Can't be a witness. What is the halacha? When are they allowed to be a witness?
If it's only sometimes, not regularly.
If the Gemara says, if they break their dice, or if they return money, if they return money after having stolen money. In other words, they do an act of contrition. They do an act that shows that they stopped what they were doing. Does it say that they have to regret? No, it does not. It just says that they have to do an act that shows you that they're not doing it anymore.
Isn't there another Gemara that says, beautiful.
The other source of the Alter Rebbe, now, the other source, now you can't really see, but it's caught up on the left of the page, but it's in footnote 24. But how long does it, you ready? How long does it take to do tshuva?
One moment.
If I need to, number one, regret, and number two, I need to say vidui to be able to do tshuva, how long does tshuva take? It would take quite a while. It might take you a couple of years even, right? Now, that tshuva takes one moment, we all know that from the Zohar. That's true. What's another source that tshuva takes one moment? Like Yishai was just saying, what's the source in Nigla, in Halacha, not the Zohar, in Halacha, that tshuva is one moment? What's the source? The Gemara, well, that's also true, but there's of course a halachadika source.
Yeah.
Right, there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. HaMakadish HaSeisha HaManas Shani Tzadik Gomer. Right, let's learn this very well, because this Mishnah in Kiddushin, we all have to learn well, and tell it to ourselves, tell it to our children, put it up in big letters, write it, you know, in graffiti on your wall, because this Mishnah in Kiddushin is a life changer. The Mishnah says like this, person is Mekadosh and Ishal Tanai. There's a din in Halacha called a Tanai. What's a Tanai? A condition. Tanai is a halachic mechanism that the Torah teaches that you can make legal acquisitions.
Conditional.
That you can make legal acquisitions conditional. For instance, I sell you my field, and you give me $100,000, and I'm selling you my field, and we're making a kinyan. You're legally acquiring my field. You give me $100,000, you make a kinyan, but I'm telling you it's almanas on condition that you'll never bring a dog into my field. I sell you that, and you agree to the condition. 20 years later, you bring a dog into the field. What's the halacha? Retroactively, it never belonged to you. It goes back to me. The whole thing doesn't work. And you know where we learn that out from? Where do we learn out the din of Tanai? That a Tanai works as a legal mechanism in Torah. B'nei God, B'nei Ruvain. Parshas Maaseh, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, B'nei God and B'nei Ruvain want to have their chelek in Eiver HaYarden, on the east side of the Jordan. They come to Moses and say, Tnu lanu achuza, b'nachas avisein, we want to have an achuza here in Eiver HaYarden, Mizracha. So Moshe says to them, "Im tavru asayarden chalutzim, if you'll fight with your brothers, it'll be yours. And if you don't, it won't be yours." So how many years after settling the land of the east side of the Jordan did it actually belong to Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven? 14 years later, after they finished conquering the land. That's called a Tanai, right? That's the mechanism of Tanai. But you know, it could get very sticky. You know how it could get sticky? Let's say you divorce your wife. You give her a get. This is your get on condition that, you'll never whistle Dixie. You're a very patriotic northerner. This is your get on condition that you'll never whistle Dixie. Okay? Good. The get works. She now marries another man. She has 5 kids. 20 years later, she whistles Dixie. Guess what happens?
All the kids are
mamzerim. Retroactively, the get doesn't work. She's now still married to the first guy, and all 5 kids are mamzerim. Person marries a woman. I'm a kaddish anisha. I'm mikaddish you hared mikudeshusli. I'm anas that you never go into your father's house again. Which is, you know, a little more practical than whistling Dixie, right? You know, into your father's house. And she goes in 20 years later. Retroactively, the whole marriage didn't work. That's why, what do we do by Jewish weddings? When the mothers break a plate, what do we do on Jewish weddings? We make a tanaim. What do we do in the tanaim? What do we essentially say when we do the tanaim? That there are none. Right? That's why we do that. We make an official thing. No tanaim. This is unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender, right? We make a thing, there is no tnoim. And Ashdok, nobody should know, I get. You also the same thing. You stipulate clearly there are no tnoim, no conditions, because we don't want to have these sticky issues, right? So that's the idea of a tnai. A tnai is that midaraisa from the Torah gives an ability of this mechanism of a tnai, right? Now, understanding this, now let's go a step further. The Mishnah says in Kedushin, let's say I'm a Kaddish Anisha, I'm marrying you on condition that I'm a kohen. Shmuel Bron says, "Harim kudeshesli, I'm an ashani kohen," and I give her the ring on the finger, and there's a caterer, and we dance for 6 hours. She's not married. Why? Because I'm not a kohen. Doesn't help, right? Person goes to woman and says, "Harim kudeshesli, I'm an ashani tzaddik gomer." Person goes and says he marries wife on condition that he's a tzaddik. What's the halacha?
Married.
Yes. Married. Now, ask the Gemara, that's any Jew. What happens if you have a Jew who we know is a Rosh HaGomer? We know a Jew that's, you know, he spent the past 20 years in the house of the rising sun. He spent the past 20 years, you know, drinking, gambling. Had a Rebbe say on Shabbos, what was the Lashon Rebbe said on Shabbos? I'm going to get my rocket juice and go to 42. Right, I get my rocket juice and go to 42, right? So you have a Jew that's been spending the past 20 years in 42, and then he comes over to the woman and says, "Harim mekudeshesli, amenasha nitzadeh gomer." What's the din?
They're married.
Mekudeshes. Ask the Gemara, how? How's that possible? Answer the Gemara, hear her tshuva beliboy. Hear her tshuva beliboy. Listen very carefully. He had a thought of repentance. What about vidui? Didn't the Rambam say that one of the three components of tshuva is vidui? So you're right, the Alter Rebbe can't argue on the Rambam, but guess what? The Rambam can't argue on the Rambam can't argue on the Gemara. What does the Gemara say? Hear her, tshuva, beliboy. Those three magic words. Hear her, tshuva, beliboy means with one thought of repentance, you go from a Rosh HaGomer to a Tzadik Gomer. What? You're asking a very good question. You said the L'char Vidui is a mitzvah. Very good question. We'll get to it. Rega. Rega. The taxi drivers in Israel say, Rega, Rega. Right, Rega. But let's not jump. But I'm trying to show you that the Rambam is not so poshut. Because the Gemara seems to say clearly, hear her tshuva beliboy, ain hear tshuva machta Rosh HaGomer to tzadik gomer. One thought of repentance makes a Rosh HaGomer to tzadik gomer. And Yishai, lest you would think, you know, maybe you'll say, the Gemara doesn't mean to hear her tshuva. The Gemara says, hear her tshuva. And let's say you see this guy, you know, this guy walks up to Schuppe and he's like chewing on a piece of chazer. He's chewing on a piece of chazer. He's chewing on a piece of treif. And right after he swallows, you're watching his mouth. He says, "Harim mekudeshes, amenasha nitzadeh gomer." You watched his mouth. He didn't say vidui. Mekudeshes. So the Gemara, you see from here clearly that tshuva is one moment, one thought. So number one, tshuva definitely cannot be vidui also. And number two, what? It's also not charata. It's not charata. The Gemara is not stipulating. The Gemara is saying one here a tshuva. So the question becomes the opposite. The question is not on the Alter Rebbe. What's the question?
The
on the Rambam. What's on the Rambam that he says three things? Clear? Let's get let's ask another question. If you thought that was a tough question, let's ask another question. So question number one is, what's Pshat on the Rambam? But let's read the Alter Rebbe a little more. Let's read inside. Look, so that's question number one. Forget, how do we understand the Rambam? Let's read the Alter Rebbe's Lashon. V'hine, mitzvah ha-tshuva min ha-Torah hi ha-zivas ha-chet bilvad. Dehainu. Now the Alter Rebbe clarifies, what does ha-zivas ha-chet mean? Dehainu. Sheyigmor b'libay, listen carefully to the words. Sheyigmor b'libay b'leiv sholem, he will accept in his heart with a full heart. Lebal yoshuv oid lekisla, not to return to foolishness. Limreid b'malchusis barach, not to rebel against the king. V'loyaver oid mitzvah hamelech chas v'sholem, hein mitzvahs esay, hein mitzvahs lois esay. He will never once again do a sin, ever again, not a mitzvahs esay, not a mitzvahs lois esay. Now, I want to ask you, we agreed that the Rambam talked about Aziva Sachet, the first thing, right? Look at how the Alter Rebbe just explained Aziva Sachet and how the Rambam explained Aziva Sachet. Are they saying, in explaining what Aziva Sachet is, are they saying the same thing?
No.
Not at all. Everyone look inside. Look at the texts. Look again at the Rambam. Not the English, by the way, because over here I must tell you the English translator did a very bad job. He translated incorrectly. Look at the Hebrew in the Rambam, and look at what the Alter Rebbe just said. Tell me, what's the difference between what they're saying when he's explaining what Aziva Sachet is?
The Rambam was just talking about Leif
Asim. What?
It looks like the Rambam was just dealing with Leif Asim.
Well, a chait could be not doing mitzvah says. A person that misses Man Krishma did a chait. That's not the difference. There's a more blatant difference.
The Rambam is talking about a specific chait also.
Right. And what does the Alter Rebbe say?
He's more in general. He's talking about Shigmar Belibo in general. All
to what?
Say, all those I say.
What's the Alter Rebbe saying? What's Aziva Sachet? What's the Alter Rebbe saying? Aziva Sachet is?
Not to rebel against Hashem.
Meaning? Not to rebel against Hashem, meaning, you ready? What? Never to sin again. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. Look, Dehainu, let's read it together. Dehainu, Sheyigmor b'libay b'leiv sholem, accept with heart with a full heart, lo yashvei l'kisa, never turn to foolishness, v'lo yavroid mitzvah samelachas v'sholem, never to go against the commandments of the king, hey mitzvah says, hey mitzvah says, say. What do you have to accept with a full heart? What's a ziva sachet? I will never sin again. What does the Rambam say? Look in the top line. Sheyazev hachoyte chetoi. This one sin. V'yesiroi mimachshavtei. Take it away from his thoughts. The guy that translated in English did not do. He did not translate correctly. He translated that a sinner should abandon his sins. That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam is saying, Sheyazav achoytei chet oy. It doesn't say his sins, right? V'yesiroi b'machshavtei doesn't mean remove them from his thoughts, like this translator is saying. Yesiroi means remove it from his thoughts. So listen, you ready? When it comes to what shuv is made up of, who's being machmir, the Alter Rebbe or the Rambam, when defining seemingly the way we understood the Rambam until today, who's being machmir? Listen again. When it comes to defining what tshuva is, the way we understood until now,
the Rambam
seems to be being more machmer that it has three parts to it, and the Alter Rebbe is seeming to say it's just aziva sachet. But when it comes to defining what aziva sachet is, what does it mean to leave the sin? Who's more machmer all of a sudden? The Alter Rebbe. The Rambam just says that I accept. I won't do that sin. The Alter Rebbe seems to be saying you have to accept, I will never sin again, God. Now, besides that being more machmir than the Rambam, which we have to think, but does that not, like, really put us out of the picture for tshuva? What does that mean? I have to accept that I will never sin again? Not just that I won't accept, I won't do that sin. I have to accept, I will never sin again. How can we do that? You're quite. You ain't just Swiss and Dixie. We're getting there, right? This all the five classes of tshuva are all going to be connected. That's what I want to show you: the philosophical, kabbalistic, and lamais. It's all going to be connected, right? That's good. But what I want to show you over here is that the Alter Rebbe, when he defines Azivas HaChet, he does not just say not to do that sin. He's saying something a lot more yisodi, thorough. Not to sin again. Now the question is, how do we do that? Doesn't that take us out of the game? I could say I'll never sin again. Who are we fooling? How could I say I'll never sin again? Who are we fooling? It's bad enough that after, you know, the Rambam says I have to say I'll never do that sin again. You know that sin, the one that I've been doing for the past 20 years over and over again, right? And here, that's bad enough. Comes the Alter Rebbe and he says, no, it's not enough just to say I won't do that sin again. I have to say I'll never sin again. How do you do that, right? And the question is also, where does the Alter Rebbe get that from? What's the Alter Rebbe's source for saying such a thing, right? Okay. So that's the two questions. Question one is, how do we make sense in the Rambam? How does the Rambam fit with the Gemara? What's the tshuva is just Azivas HaChet? What is that? The Alter is just Azivas HaChet? And what is Azivas HaChet? We have to understand what's going on over here. So the truth is like this. We have to understand practically what is really the essence of doing tshuva. As Aryeh says, and we've spoken about the past 2 weeks, the essence of tshuva is being a new person. We spoke about last week from Rav Soloveitchik, Gesundheit. We spoke about 2 weeks ago from the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the gift of tshuva. We spoke, remember, from Rabbeinu Yoina, that tshuva is being a newborn, being born again. Tshuva is being a born-again Jew, being born again. Last week we spoke from Rav Soloveitchik to recreate oneself. But now let's talk very practically. What in the world does that mean? Let's talk very practically. What in the world does it mean being born again? What does it mean to recreate yourself? Do you know that there are people that spend years trying to recreate themselves, to reinvent themselves? There are a lot of organizations out there that will be very happy to take your money and give you seminars and programs and books. And I don't need to tell you, the self-help industry is a booming market because everyone wants to recreate themselves. It's the most flashy, fashionable in thing these days to recreate ourselves. They have lots of very highfalutin fancy words. Self-development, self-expression. You know, what are all the other words that they speak about? All the words telling you about, you know, transformation. All million things become the person you want to be, and they promise you that if you do this weekend seminar, you will have your dream job. You will find your dream partner. Everything will be perfect if you recreate yourself. So everyone's taught, we all want to recreate ourselves. Question is how? So we're going to learn tonight is that obviously when it comes to recreating oneself, there are a lot of processes. And I'm not taking away from the fact that some of those organizations and books are very helpful. But you understand that if tshuva means to recreate yourself, how long should that take? What do we see from the Gemara Kiddushin? Not a weekend, seminar, retreat. One moment. So what we need to understand is that when it comes to recreating yourself, it's true that there are a lot of self-help books and therapy and all these things which are very good in the process of self-creating yourself, or more correctly stated, the long-term process. But when it comes to the moment of tshuva, the moment of tshuva, the actual moment of recreating self is one moment, 1 second. So what we need to very practically define is, what's the essence of recreating oneself? What's the essential nekudas ha-tshuva that it means to recreate oneself? So turn to the other side of the page. Okay. So here, this is actually, this thing we're going to learn now, we're about to learn, it says, this idea is actually written in Chassidus many times, but in this mimer, the Mittler Rebbe is the Alter Rebbe, the Baal Tanya's son. In this mimer, the Mittler Rebbe, in these lines over here, he very succinctly, mamish, this is, I think, the best place that defines clearly the practical taich, what is the act of tshuva. So look. Ubezeh yuvan mashakosuv. This is based on this, we could understand what the pasuk says in Tehillim. Hoyseli dim osi lechem yoyim v'layla. My tears were my bread day and night. Perish lechem u'lachma shel Torah. becomes my bread, the tears become my bread. That means, what does it mean, the tears become my bread? Haisali dimasi lachmi lechem. The tears of tshuva are what make the Torah better. But that's not the main point. Let's look. Dehine. Hadmois. What should you be crying about when you do tshuva? Because we know tshuva, the ultimate tshuva is to cry. But now, you ready? This is very important. So many people get messed up because of this. When you cry about tshuva, are you supposed to cry about the actual thing that you did? Are you supposed to cry that you're a bad person? When you're supposed to cry about tshuva, are you supposed to cry that you're a bad person? No, that's very unhealthy. That's very unhealthy. Remember we spoke last week, we brought from Rav Soloveitchik, from Max Scheler, about why all the philosophers were against tshuva, because it's so inhibiting to be able to go on in life. If one is supposed to cry about being a bad person, are you supposed to cry about the act that you did? No. Not even. You know why? Because very often, like I said before, I don't regret it. Look what he says. Hadmois huba min armerirus al oitzim richukai me'achtus Hashem. I'm not supposed to cry about the thing that I did. I might like the thing that I did. I'm supposed to cry that I got far from God. It's a huge difference. It's not semantics. Do you understand that? It's not semantics. One doesn't necessarily regret. I don't regret what I did. I enjoyed it. I liked it. But it made me far from Hashem. If a person is in a relationship, you do something to hurt your spouse, right? And you might not necessarily ever become to say you regret it. You regret that act itself. Maybe not. So if you want to come and really have a heartfelt apology that your spouse should feel, your beloved should feel that you really regret it, but you don't regret it, what do you regret? You might not regret the act that you did because you did it because you enjoyed doing it. You regret the result that it made you far from your beloved. You regret the pain that you caused. Look. V'haynu ha-bekhi b'tikun chatzois al inyan, you ready? Prikas ol dafka. Tshuva means to cry about prikas ol machu shamayim. What does prikas ol machu shamayim mean? Throwing off the yoke of God. That's, in a one sentence, what we're crying about. That Hashem, I didn't belong to you. I threw off the yoke of Hashem for myself. Prikas ol machu shamayim. That's what one is supposed to cry about. Now look how beautiful. Look what he says. Mipnei shezehu hamokor lekol oven vechet kiedua. Because that's the source of all sin. You ready for this? What makes a person a Rasha? Doing the sin? No. Doing the sin is not what makes a person a Rasha. The sin is like Mary's little lambs. Mary's little lambs are sure to follow what? No, come on. Wherever Mary goes. Wherever Mary goes, the lambs are sure to follow. The sins are like the lambs. What's the Mary? Not feeling God is my king. My relationship to God is not intense, and I'm not conscious of it enough. That's the problem. That's the source of the sin. The source of the sin is prikas ol machu shamayim, that I didn't have upon me yiras Hashem. I didn't have God in front of me. And I'm sure I don't need to tell you, when it comes, let's say, in a relationship between a man and a woman, the same thing. The source of the fact that one is able to hurt the other, what's that from? And that's what causes the pain also, that you didn't have your beloved in front, the picture in front of you. That's the pain. It's not so much the actual act. It's that you did the love wasn't strong enough. The source of sin is the prikas ol machu shamayim. Look what he says. Now look how beautiful. It's essentially the mashal I just told you. What I just told you about a man and woman is what the Mitzvah Rebbe is about to say, but he just uses a different mashal. Ukamoy ha'eved shemored uperik ol rabbi. A servant that throws off the yoke of his master. Shekosha bein ha'odin yoisim emasha asa neged ritzoyne bedvar prat. What hurts the master more, that is when his servant doesn't do what he said? What hurts the master most? More than the Dvar Prat, not the specific thing that he didn't do. What hurts him more?
He didn't care.
He didn't listen.
Right. If the king says, bring me a cup of water. The king says to bring me a cup of water. And you say, no, I won't. What hurts the king? That he didn't. That he remained thirsty? That you're not listening to him. That you don't have the yoke. What bothers God the most when you do an Aveira? What really bothers Hashem? The actual Aveira. That what's happening to you, that you don't have Omach Shem, that you don't have the relationship with Hashem. Tell me if this reminds you of something. Your mother tells you to clean the room. Clean your room. I don't know if it ever happened to you that you don't. And your mother comes and she starts crying. And you're like, Ma, I didn't clean my room for God's sake. What happened? What are you crying about? I didn't clean my room for God's sakes. Why is she crying? She's not crying you didn't clean your room. She's crying that the relationship, there's something wrong with the relationship. If you didn't bring flowers, your wife's not going to cry because you didn't bring flowers. It's because you weren't sensitive enough. The relationship, there's something missing over there. Yeah.
We're talking two different things. One, you're talking about relationship, like love, and one, you're talking about oil, which is fear. It's a very different type of thing.
And that's why there's a difference between tshuva me'av and tshuva me'ira. Right. There's a difference between whether you're going to do tshuva me'av or tshuva me'ira, whether it's going to be out of love or fear. But the nekud of both of them is, what are we seeing that tshuva is? Saying to God one sentence. You know what it means to be reborn? What's the thought of tshuva? What? God, I'm yours. That's it. That's tshuva. That's being reborn. That's the practical tshuva. The act of the moment of tshuva is one thought. God, ich bin deiner, I'm yours. Either out of fear or out of love. But the vart is that tshuva is that one thing. Hashem, I'm yours again. How long does that take? 1 second. Now you ready? Now explain to me, you tell me what's put on the Alter Rebbe. If that's what tshuva is, tell me what's put on the Alter Rebbe.
Is that you would take on because of the fact that you said...
You're getting too complicated. You're getting too complicated already. What's put on the Alter Rebbe? Why you have to say, I'm never going to do sins again? Huh? Hashem, I'm yours! Hashem, I am yours.
It's not your point of reference.
Right. This sin, that sin, this sin, that sin. Hey, Hashem, I'm yours. Hashem, I belong to you. Imagine you apologize to your mother, your wife, and you say, honey, you know, I love you. I'm just not going to do that one thing. I won't do that, but I'll do that. That's not called reestablishing a relationship. The Alter Rebbe is saying, Azivas Achait is saying, Hashem, I am yours again. That giving oneself over to God, giving oneself, or in other words, Kabbalas ol machus shemayim mechadosh. Kabbalas ol machus shemayim mechadosh is tshuva. And you know what? That's why the Alter Rebbe says in many places that Kriya Shema and tshuva are the same thing. Because when you accept and say, Hashem, I am yours, that's tshuva. That's tshuva. That goes, because you understand, the Mary that brings about the lambs is not feeling that I belong to God. So in order to rectify that, and practically, let's talk very practical. You ready? If I say, God, I'll never do the sin again. How many times? Hashem, I'll never do the sin again. Hashem is like, you know, rolling his eyes and say, we're rolling our eyes at ourselves. Why does that never work to say, I'll never do this sin again? Why will that not work? Explain, you tell me. Why will that never work, psychologically?
You didn't make a fundamental change,
right?
You didn't.
If I just say, God, I'll never do it again, why is it clear that you will?
We still have a passion for it.
Right. In other words, if I sinned, I did it yesterday, why shouldn't I do it again? If there's not a more internal change, why should I do it again? Now, I might not be able to regret it. You ready? I might not be able to regret it. This is very important, Menachem. I might not be able to regret it because I really enjoyed it. But guess what I could do? I could stop doing it by how? By making God more palpable to me. Making my relationship with Hashem deeper. Hashem, I love you so much, or I'm scared of you enough, and that becomes so strong that it'll make sure I won't do it again. And that makes you a tzaddik gomor. You understand? When you do that, mitzvah satshuv min ha'torah, ziv ha'zachet b'vad, dehainu, the Alter Rebbe says, you accept with all your heart to say, Hashem, I'm yours. Now, you ready? We asked before, what do you mean? How could we ever say I'll never do a sin again? Who are we to say we'll never do a sin again? The point over here is that tshuva is not about actually calculating what's going to happen next week when I'm on vacation. And I have to go, you know, walk down the streets of Miami Beach, right? That's not tshuva. Tshuva is, Hashem, I am yours and I will be yours. I now belong to you. That one we could do. Hashem, I really want to be yours. Now, what happens if tomorrow you end up doing another sin? Guess what? What could you do again? You do tshuva again. Because, you understand, the act of tshuva is not saying, I will never do X, Y, and Z. Who, you know, that's, it's not enough. It won't work. And who are we to say that? But if I say to Hashem, the act of tshuva is that feeling, Hashem, I really give myself into your hands. I want that relationship with you again.
But it's hard. At the same time, you know that if you come across this stage, you may do it again.
What?
At the same time as you're giving yourself over to Hashem, you're saying you're giving yourself.
So then what? So but that when I'm doing the act of tshuva, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, Hashem, I belong to you, and I'm going to do everything to give myself to you. But you seriously intend, we're talking about being authentic. We're not talking about being unauthentic. But I authentically give myself over to Hashem. I authentically give myself over to Hashem, and Hashem, I want a relationship with you.
And that means a ziva sachet.
Right.
That includes a ziva sachet.
That is a ziva sachet. That's saying, Hashem, I will no longer sin anymore, because I belong to you. Now, and that's why, let's look back at the Rambam. Look at the Rambam. Look back at the Rambam for a second. Now, the Rambam says, "Uma hi hatshuva." What is tshuva? Says the Rambam, "Aziva zachet." And what pasuk does the Rambam bring? What pasuk does the Rambam bring? Yazev rosha darkoi. What's the Rambam saying?
Not that specific action, but the whole.
Right, the whole frame of being. The sinner shall leave his path. His darkai, not just to leave the sin, leave that path of not having God in front of you all the time. Leave the Mary, not the lambs.
So when the Rambam is answering the question, the Vechein, is that still part of the, is that a different?
Oh, so then the Rambam says Vechein, and Vechein means after you did tshuva, Vechein, now there are another two things to do. There are another two things to do, but they're not the mahus of tshuva. Those other two things are what's called the shleimus of tshuva, not the mahus of tshuva. You have to do vidur and charata, but those are the shleimus of tshuva, which we might never ever be able to do. But that doesn't change the fact that you did the mahus of tshuva. What's the difference between the mahus of tshuva and the shleimus of tshuva? Tune in next week.
Looked a little bit at the rest of the Mittler Rebbe, and it looked like I would never be able to read it and understand it.
Well, next week I'm going to, we'll go a couple of lines also, a few more lines.
By the time you, I look at it, the same pasuk as the Rambam.
That's right, he does. He has a Rosh Hashanah, right. One second, and that pasuk, Dov, isn't that pasuk is mamash, that pasuk is essentially teaching the Mahus of Tshuva is not stopping a sin, it's stopping a path, and we're going to speak about the next week in the Mitzvah Rebbe. Yeah. Yeah. Could you show me?
I read in a academic book, so I can get a picture of it sent to you.
Okay. All right.
It's like it was talking about Rav Kook. It was like the Rav Kook academic. He was talking about like how the principle, how tshuva, the evolution of tshuva started with Sadiq Gaon talking about it, how it.
I would love to see that. I always thought the Rambam was the first one to quote
it. It was a response to the sin. And then how it morphed into to early Ashkenazi Hasidim. And then, whereas it was not so much of a reactionary, it's not so much as reactionary to one sin, but as.
Please show me that. Please. Pretty please with the cherry on top. Okay.
Speaking with this is with Mary and the lambs.
Yeah.
It's either
take away the Alter Rebbe said, and you really have, you know, dealing with symptoms versus dealing with the cause.
Right,
the
exactly.
Saying go after the cause.
I should be a little more sophisticated and use those words. You're right. I'm just stuck with the Mary and the Lamb.
This works very nicely. It works. But I'm saying.
You're right.
I'm saying.
Got it. Exactly. Symptom and causes. Right.
It's like you could deal with lots of separate causes and you're just constantly, you know, knocking down.
Right. And not the main symptom. Not the main issue. Correct. And the main issue of tshuva, and tshuva is dealing with the main issue. And what is the main issue? That I don't have God. I'm not. My awareness of God is not strong enough. My Kabbalah Samach Shemaim is not strong enough.
So why does the Tanya use these words that are so, it almost throws you off, to say that you have to leave, like these words we qualify with the Mittel Rebbe, but they seem to say you are leaving.
No, but look what he's fakir. Look at the Alter Rebbe. Shigma Beliboy, Labayashav Lekisla. What's the Kisla? Limrid B'malchusi Yisbarach. That's exactly the Alter Rebbe's Lashon. The Kisla is, I will never be rebel against the king. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. And he tightens up. Mitzvah Zesa, Mitzvah Zesa say. Mm-hmm. But forget, that is the Alter Rebbe's Lashon.
You're saying that's the first...
That is Tshuva. That is
the fact that he says afterwards, I'm never going to do it again. It's not the dicker.
Where does he say, I'm never going to do it again?
It says right here.
Right, but what's he saying over there? Lo yavar mitzvah samelech. He's not saying I'm not going to do it again. Read better. What does it mean, lo yavar mitzvah samelech? And I will never rebel against the king. It's optional. I will never go against him.
He's teaching up.
I mean, but that he's teaching up. I will never rebel against God at all. Right. I'm now in a relationship with Hashem, a new relationship, and I will never rebel against Him anymore, and I'll never do things against Him anymore. And he teaches up. Say, I'm yours, Hashem. I belong. I'm with you now.
Mm-hmm. Even though you know at that moment, if that Nisayan would come to you right now, whatever is that moment, it would still be.
I don't know what that means. If you know, at this moment right now, I know I want to belong to Hashem, and I'm saying, Hashem, I'm going to do everything in my power to make my relationship with you stronger. If that moment is authentic, who says you're supposed to be calculating what's going to happen tomorrow? You're supposed to be living with that moment. We're going to get right to next week, Mitzvah Hashem. That's what it means to live with tshuva. That feeling of tshuva, you're supposed to be trying to work on the whole year. Tshuva is supposed to be something you work on. I'm always doing that feeling of giving oneself over to Hashem. That's what it means to live with tshuva.
Right.
Living with tshuva doesn't mean I'm not going to do this sin, I'm not going to do that sin, and then you just keep thinking about the sins. Living with tshuva means living with that tnuah, nafshis, that soul movement of giving self to God.
I'm yours.
Right.
So I'm thinking about that. Who can say, I mean, we can all say that, but who can really, like, Avraham Avinu said to Hashem, I'm yours. He put himself... whatever you want. My son has to be shechted. I'm going to do it right now. Hashem said it to me right now. I'm yours, but, you know, a little asterisk. My son, I'm not so sure.
Frustrated is a very good thing. Because that means that you're understanding that. I mean, you should have the same question when you say Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. Ask the same question. We're as Jews commanded to every day think that we would shecht our kids and ourselves for God.
But so I'm saying, deep down, if I was giving that, that's what makes Avraham to me so great, because he actually did it.
Right. So, but the Vardis, but you understand, but based on this, we understand that what does it mean to work on doing tshuva? It doesn't mean to think about sins and stuff. It means to try to work in a relationship with Hashem and try to come to that place where I could really believe that and feel I want to belong to God. It's all about a relationship with Hashem.
So that eventually we'll get to that point where you
right.
can say,
like, right, that's what it means to do tshuva.
Right.
What we're going to get to, which I think what Mark said, next week I'm going to mention Mitzvah Shem, that's why Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur.
Because it's a relationship.
Right. It's Kabbalah Samalchus, and only then could you, right.
Right. Because when the relationship's strong, so you...
That's what we need to work on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why Rosh Hashanah, we don't do Vidui. Because that's not the point of Rosh Hashanah. Right.